Okay, welcome back, everyone. Do we have, looks like we have a full complement. All right, welcome back. I'd like to start with our roll call. Myself, Peter Lisi, present. Let's see, Marty Budd. Marty? Not yet. Okay. Carrie Kelly. See Carrie?
Here.
Thank you. Andrew Foster?
Present.
Thank you. Daryl Hill?
Present.
Thank you. Michael Azzotti?
I'm here.
Thank you. Julie Savino? Julie? Not present. And Laura Baker? Not present. Marty, are you back on? Not yet. Okay, well, we can go ahead and start. We have a quorum. First item is the approval from our September 22nd meeting, the minutes from that meeting. I'm hoping people have taken a look at them. Is there a motion to accept the minutes as presented? Anyone? I'll move it. Is there second. A second?
Daryl.
Thank you, Daryl. Are there any comments or corrections or edits to the minutes from the meeting of September 22nd? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the minutes as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions?
I was not present. Sorry.
Andrew Foster is an abstention and Carrie Kelly abstention. Anyone else? All right, thank you. Motion carries.
I had a question about two items. One about, maybe we can't tell, about the federal government's forgiveness program and how it will affect it's mentioned in the executive director's CSLF. Maybe we don't know enough about the federal program.
At the last meeting, we did touch on the potential impact of any loan forgiveness
right.
by the federal government on the CSLF portfolio.
Right.
And since the last meeting, things have continued to evolve. So first, the feds decided to remove FFELP loans from the forgiveness program altogether. So they were removed and then no longer eligible for forgiveness. And then in the past few days, there's been a stay put in place for all of the loan forgiveness in general, including on direct loans based on a lawsuit that's been filed. So right now the program is on hold, pending further legal action.
We have very few direct loans, is that correct?
We have no direct loans. The whole entire CSLF portfolio is the Federal Family Education Loan Program.
Right. Okay, so you'll just keep us informed.
Yes, if there's anything new with regard to that, yes.
Thank you.
Marty, did you say you had two questions? Was that?
No, they I see they're both the same, how recent student loan forgiveness would impact. And then okay. The other one, they were both, Jeanette's answered both of the questions.
Okay, thank you.
Chair, Mr. Chair, this is Tim Webb with Hilltop Securities, your financial
yes.
advisor.
Yep.
I would just remind Mr. Budd and the other members of the board that in preparation for the past meeting, Jeanette and staff had me run a series of cash flows to look at the impact of forgiveness of a certain portion of the portfolio if it were to occur. And that was covered in the last meeting. So.
Right.
just wanted to remind you that that was done, and I believe that's reflected in the minutes.
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Maybe relatively negligible is what you said. I don't know what relatively negligible, but thank you.
All right. Jeanette, Executive Director's report.
Yes. So first, I did want to just state for the record that ethics training for the CSLF board was provided in the CHESLA board meeting. So given that it's the members are the same individuals, just wanted to make sure it's noted that ethics training has been provided. The other item that's on the agenda, which references the loan servicer. So CSLF's current loan servicer is Ed Financial, and I think they've been in that role since at least 2010. They informed us recently that they plan to exit the business of servicing FFELP loans, and that will occur by June of 23. And so given that, we will need to seek a new loan servicer. And their reason for exiting the FFELP business, they're saying FFELP loans comprise less than 1% of their portfolio, and it's no longer cost effective for them to educate their customer service reps on the particular nuances of the FFELP program. They service over $115 billion worth of direct loans. So that's where their focus is. So what we have done is we issued on November 8th, we issued an RFP for a new loan servicer with proposals due by December 9th. And what we also, I believe, sent out as a communication to the board is that we wanted to have a special board meeting on December 15th. That should be, December 19th, Monday. It should be a hopefully brief meeting, and that would be for management to present its recommendation with regard to a new loan servicer, and hopefully achieve board approval of that. And then over the ensuing month or two, we would have, finalizing of the contract. There's a whole rating agency process that you have to go through if you're changing loan servicers. And then there would be, the whole conversion process. So all of that, so that we have, the goal being to complete it, well in advance of that June 30th date. So I don't know if Denise, if you want to comment, or Tim, if you want to chime in with any comments on that process. And we also, we did involve Tim as well as Goal Solutions in terms of this, the structure of the RFP, the timeline, et cetera.
No comments here for me, Jeanette, unless there's a question the board has that I can answer.
Okay. I don't have anything to add.
Remind me what role Gold plays.
So Goal is the portfolio administrator. So they will be presenting other parts of the agenda today, but they are the ones that do the oversight, the day-to-day interface with the loan servicer, tracking portfolio, the portfolio performance and portfolio metrics in terms of, how many borrowers are in income-driven repayment, et cetera.
How don't they have a servicer, an originator, subsidiary or something?
So Goal does have a servicer subsidiary called Launch, who is the servicer on the private loan portfolio of CSLF, which is, very small, like around $2 million or so. So not sure whether or not Launch services FFELP loans, but they, if they do, they would be able to respond to the RFP.
Well, isn't, you know, you mentioned in the materials about the conflict of interest, but if you're going to have Gold help make the RFP and then their subsidiary is going to respond to the RFP, that has an appearance of conflict.
Right. Well, certainly, if that, you know, if that's the case, they would not be part of the assessment of any of the RFPs. But well,
you got to ask them first. Are you interested in this business? If so, leave the room.
Right. I think they, you know, there should be someone from Goal on this call right now.
Yeah, Jeanette, to your point earlier in terms of launch, launch only services private student loans as far as that particular space is concerned. They do not service FFELP loans, so we were not going to be included in that RFP process in terms of bidding.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yep.
All right, Jeanette, anything else on that? Okay. Any other questions for Jeanette? All right, thank you. Financial report, is Justin doing?
I think on the agenda, Peter, I think we had, are we doing the executive session?
Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped right over that. Yes. So Denise, we need a motion to move into executive session. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So moved.
All right. Motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second, Andrew.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. All those in favor of moving into executive session, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? And on your screen, you should have an option to join the breakout room. Looks like we're all back. All right. And Denise, I believe I need to say no votes were taken during executive session. No votes were taken. All right, thank you. We're down to the financial report. Let's see, Justin.
I think the first portion, I believe, is with Kevin.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kevin. Yep, Kevin Berry, sorry.
Yep, good afternoon, it's Kevin. I'd like to start on page 11, which is the statement of, or the change in net position. Okay, for the consolidated trust and operations, operating revenues were $1.5 million this fiscal year as compared to $1.2 million in the prior year, and we budgeted it at $1 million. As always, 98% of the revenues are generated from interest income on loans received from the students. Operating expenses, consolidated expenses were $1.2 million this fiscal year compared to $700,000 in the prior fiscal year and budgeted at $1.7 million. The majority, 68% of the expenses, are derived from interest on the bonds outstanding. If I can go to page 12, balance sheet. Total assets this fiscal year decreased to $116 million compared to $139 million last year. This is based on the payments received on student loans. And total liabilities decreased from $116 million from $139 million based on the pay down of the bonds with the student loan interest collected. Total net position for CSLF September 30th is $22.4 million. Do you have any questions? If not, I'm all set.
Questions? All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Yep.
Justin, you're going to talk about the bond redemptions.
Sure. Yeah. So this will be starting on page 15. During the quarter, there were a total of $9.15 million of bonds redeemed as compared with $4.35 million last quarter.
The breakdown was $3.7 million on the 2006 A1 tranche and $5.45 million on the 2006 A2 tranche, leaving us with a total bond outstanding balance of approximately $93 million, and that represents a 9% decline from the prior quarter. I would just note on the large difference in redemptions quarter over quarter that due to the interval of the bond redemptions, they happen on average about every 28 days, that you end up occasionally with a quarter that has one additional redemption in it. So typically you have three and a quarter. And in this quarter we had four, and that's partially explaining the difference in total redemptions this quarter. Moving to page 16, looking at some of the portfolio characteristics, there continue to be increases in rates and term. The weighted average coupon increased 19 basis points from 6.43 to 6.62, and the weighted average remaining term increased from 186 months to 190 months. And this is sort of typical for aging portfolios. Looking at the loans in forbearance, there's a rather large decrease in forbearances from 10.93% in the prior quarter to 6.93 at the end of this quarter. And you really have to go to sort of pre-COVID times to find the forbearance rate that low on the portfolio. That's really all I've got related to the redemptions. Are there any questions related to that?
Anyone?
How do you choose which bonds to redeem?
So it's just an alternating redemption on the two different tranches.
You have two, this is Tim Webb for the record. There are two senior series and then there's one subordinate series. So we're alternating between the two senior series, the 2006 A1s and the 2006 A2s. And then obviously we won't hit any of the Bs, the sub bonds, until all of the seniors are gone.
Right.
Yep, makes sense. Thank you, Tim. Anything else for Justin? All right, Justin, the servicer review?
Sure. So the servicer review is done annually for both Ed Financial and Launch. And so we'll, looking down at page 22, we'll start with the Ed Financial review first. This covers the period of September 1st, 2021 through August 31st, 2022. There were a couple exceptions noted in this year's review. The first involves Nelnet. Nelnet is a subservicer of Ed Financial. And so during July, there was a vulnerability discovered in Nelnet's system. Nelnet internally resolved the issue and subsequently investigated. The investigation found that borrower information of Ed Financial loans was exposed to an unknown party from June 2022 through July 22nd. Of 2022. Borrowers were notified during the last week of August. And as of September 15th, 2022, the total impact is still under review by Nelnet and their third-party consultant. The second exception noted, and this will be on page 24 under servicing metrics. The second exception was that there were instances where Ed Financial did not meet its contractual standards. So it's really, I believe, the first three standards noted there in that chart under servicing metrics. And so if you look at, for example, written correspondence, they exceeded the standard in July and August and met it in all other months. And looking at their contractual standard for form processing on deferment and forbearance, they exceeded the standard in July and August and met it in all other months. And the call answer rate, there were a couple of exceptions in December and January. And then there was a very large exception on the call answer rate where the answer rate went to in excess of 1500 seconds. I think it's roughly 25 minutes. And that was in August of 2022. So we did reach out to the servicer to get some answers as far as, you know, why they missed the standards. Looking at the call answer rate spike of 1500 seconds, they cited Biden's student loan forgiveness announcement in August. They were really just inundated with calls at that point in time. As far as the other metrics that were missed, they cited changes in staffing during December and January as they reevaluated the agents that handle FFELP borrowers. I think they withdrew some agents and started making an effort to train more as it relates to FFELP loans. They also cited an influx in student correspondence with the ongoing return to repayment. And so that was everything I wanted to point out on the Ed Financial Review. So I'll move to the launch review on page 28. So I think I'll just point out, it was pointed out last year, but I'll point out again, there's always a potential of conflict of interest since launch is a wholly owned subsidiary of GS2. This was determined not to be a material issue due to the relatively small size of the private portfolio, which is less than 2% of the total portfolio. The launch review covers the same period. And so we did note, moving down to page 29, that there was one exception in the launch review. And this, again, similar to Ed Financial, there were instances where launch missed meeting the contractual standards. And again, on page 29 in the chart that appears there, it's really the first two items, the call answer rate and call abandonment rate, where the standard was missed in I believe, all but one of the months on the call answer rate and was missed for half of the months on the call abandonment rate. So launch pointed to substantial growth in their service loans, coupled with higher than expected COVID-related absences and slower than expected onboarding, as far as reasons as to why they missed the metrics here. And then they further stated that their staffing plan has been adjusted to improve the metrics going forward. Those are the comments or the items I'd wanted to mention. Were there any questions as it relates to the servicer reviews?
Any questions for Justin? Anything? Okay, thank you, Justin. All right. Last item is the meeting schedule in our packet. And Denise, I'm assuming that needs board approval as well.
Yes, right. Thank you.
I move adoption of the schedule as set forth in the materials.
Thank you, Marty. Is there a second? I'll second it. Happy to do it. Any discussion, comments, questions? Conflicts with regard to the meeting schedule as presented? Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting the 2023 meeting schedule as presented, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you. Motion passes. Meeting schedule is adopted. Is there any other business anyone would like to bring forward? Any other thoughts, cares, concerns, items of business? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you, Andrew. Is there a second?
Second.
And there's a second. Thank you, Daryl. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries and we are adjourned. Thank you all very much for your time. And thank you to those of you on the call, Tim and others. Thank you.